Went back to the dogs. It's a Tom Jones Tuesday here on Gate Radio. Jonesy, how's the week going?
Hey, so far so good. It's going fast.
Absolutely. I'm assuming you've been busy on the court, reffing. Yes, no?
Not too bad. I had the weekend. I had to do a ninth grade or a B squad game on Saturday morning, which was a makeup from Friday night. And other than that, no, I gotta do the B squad boys game tonight, and I think I've got a pair on Alden on Thursday, and then girls C squad game, which they're gonna play three games on Friday night. So yeah, I got a lot going on this week, and besides watching my kids play too. So.
Well, you mentioned the boys game tonight. Both teams looking for their first win. And Faribault is a team that last year I think we matched up with pretty good. And I like our chances on the boys side of picking up a win tonight against Faribault. It's one of those games that they can win, and hopefully they'll get it done.
I hope so. And they've got this game, obviously, early in the season circled, and as do the girls, and saying this is going to be a chance to get a W for both squads. And we'll see what happens. You gotta play the game, and you gotta work hard. And the boys against Otana, certainly they got beat by 25 or 26. But I think my son reminded me afterwards that it was about a 50-point loss a year ago. So we definitely work in progress for Harrison Cates and the boys, and we'll look for some better things here tonight. And you know, it's nice. We've talked about this before. We actually have a 9A, a 9B, a B squad, a JV, and a varsity for boys this year. So great numbers in the program, which is great to see. And so anybody that comes out, they get a lot of basketball.
I'm glad you brought up the Owatonna game on Friday. The Tiger boys 0-1, that was their opener. Take that back, actually Saturday afternoon after the game was postponed Friday night. And that's the first thing when I saw the score, I'm like, okay, 24 points. And others might go, well, they got blown out by Owatonna. But like Spencer said, it was really one-sided last year, like 50-point games, just to show. And I know Owatonna lost a lot of guys from last year, but we know it's a big school. They don't rebuild. They just reload in Owatonna. And to have that kind of performance on opening night against a bigger school, a team that's been very dominating in basketball, they didn't lose a Big Nine Conference game last year, which to me is amazing. They went like 22-0. Again, it's a 24-point loss. From those on the outside looking in might go, okay, your team lost by a bunch. For us at Fall Boys Basketball, again, that's a step in the right direction. Can you call it a moral victory? Yeah. And I think leading off of that game, they're going to be ready to go and fired up against Faribault tonight.
That was really good. I think they got to see where they're at. We've got this new boy that came in from Rochester Century, moved to Albert Lea, and he's a senior, and he had some points for us. And but it was kind of, I think, just for the Tigers with, I think, 9 or 10 seniors, too, on the roster to see where they were at. And you play a very strong team in Otana your first game. And I talked to the Otana coaches. I've gotten to know them from officiating their under games over the years. And they said, too, that this is a basically a whole new team. And of all the Otana teams, Aaron, we've ever followed, probably the smallest Otana team. They had a post player that I would say maybe 6'2", 6'3". No bigger than that. And other than that, they were just extremely athletic. And that's the one thing as an official, when I've done the B squad games or ninth grade games before, they just attack you like a dog on a bone. And they've got your, a lot of times they'll have their hands on you at the top of the key and, you know, forcing you one way or the other. And sometimes, and my son said this too, he goes, Dad, why aren't the officials calling that in the JV game? And I said, well, that's a style of play that basketball has kind of become. That's a lot of hands-on defense, which I don't care for. I'm old school. But they were very, very aggressive in the JV game and in the B game. And our JV features, I think, 4 or 5 ninth graders and my son and another couple juniors. And they were very competitive. We just were, with especially those ninth graders, they weren't ready to play. They never played at that level before, that speed. And I thought they reacted very well. And I really think tonight we'll see a great game coming out of not only the JV, but also the varsity from what we got learned from the Otana matchup.
I think we got a Faribault sweep coming tonight. Girls game right here on Kate Radio, 7:15, your pregame tip-off at 7:30. Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. And Jonesy, you told me off the air you want to talk about the Hall of Fame banquet. Now, is this a year off for it this year, and then we do it the following? No, okay.
No, it's actually, this is going to be the a year on. It's every other year. And the last one I think we had, and maybe it was September because of the COVID. And but we had a meeting last night with our committee. Neil Scores on it, Brendan Morris. Jim Windorf came back to Albert Lea. He's in the Hall of Fame, not only as an individual, I believe, but as a team for the swimming team from 1979 that won state championship. And he was on the first committee, and we didn't know that. We found that out, and he offered to come back and work with us. And Mike Peterson kind of heads it up, and myself. And well, we're still looking for nominations, and that's what I wanted to talk about. We went through a lot of names that we've had submitted last night, kind of just get a feel for where we're at with that. And then January 2nd, I think is when we're meeting again. But a person, I get called a lot and emailed asking how you can fill out an application for a nomination. And I tell people, here's how you do it. But we're making it easy. They're at the Convention and Visitors Bureau downtown, and they are also at Tiger City Sports, which is open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 12 at 920 South Broadway. So if you stop in there, you can get one. You go to the CVB downtown, you can get one. Or go online. If you just Google Albert Lea High School Athletic Hall of Fame, you'll find information there, too. You can print it out and get it to us. But we're kind of getting crunch time because we want to be able to get the people that get nominated. It looks like maybe 8 or 9 will go in this time like we had last time, and get them information so they can start planning families coming to town, what have you. And then we put out a big series of articles. I think Kate's gotten those in the past on each individual that's been nominated to go into the Hall of Fame. So that's kind of a nice thing. Mike Peterson did an amazing job on that 2 years ago. But it's the last Friday of July. And unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me here, but like the 27th, I believe, of July. And it'll be at Wedgewood Cove. It'll just be a dinner like we did. We cut out the golf outing at Golf outing just wasn't real successful number-wise anymore, and we decided 2 years ago not to have that golf outing, and it was fine. Nobody really said much about it, but we had a full house 2 years ago. Hopefully we'll have another full house this time.
Now, Jonesy, I think we talked about this in the past where you ran the individuals that have said, why isn't this person in the Albert Lea Hall of Fame? And the answer might be is you have to nominate them. I mean, you guys aren't just pulling out names. You need nominations from the public to get somebody into the hall.
You do. And a couple of qualifications, and I like to tease Margot Wayne about this because if she could have retired from coaching 5 years ago, she'd be in the Hall of Fame. But she continues coaching and head co-coach, I think, of cross country. But you have to be out 5 years. And so as a coach or as an athlete, so there's a lot of people that in the last few years that are, are eligible to come in to the Hall of Fame. So get those nomination forms in.
Now, Jonesy, I'm going to throw you a curveball question. And I bring this up because Owatonna, they do a Hall of Fame as well. And Roy Koenig, he's been the voice of Husky sports forever. They put him into their Hall of Fame. Would a former sports guy be eligible for the Albert Lea Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. I'd have to look into the bylaws and see what they actually read. I know I did not. I was involved on the committee when the bylaws were set, but they're actually online. A person could look it up and see. But yeah, and I understand Roy is now working on the Owatonna Live broadcast.
Yeah, you know, I actually ran into him about a month ago at a fast food restaurant, ran into him up in Lakeville. And yeah, he's still doing Owatonna Sports for another station in Owatonna, not the one that he was with for, I think, 30 plus years. And he's a part of Owatonna Live. So he's kind of transitioned to kind of the same thing, just with a different media company there in Owatonna. And again, I think 30 plus years with a KRFO, the station up there. And yeah, they put him into the Hall of Fame in Owatonna. So that's why I bring it up, because again, Roy's great at what he does and continues to do. So I was just curious.
Well, we wonder how many years you've been now with Kate, between your first time and second time. That's got to be,
I think,
pushing 10 years.
I'm at 10. Okay. Not even close. I'm not at the Mike Sullivan of the world's years yet. But maybe
put you
someday.
In the receiving votes category, Aaron.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on KATE Radio. Anything else you want to add about the Albert Lee Hall of Fame?
No, we just hopefully get people to come up with some more nominations. When we were meeting last night, we started throwing a lot of new names out there that have had nominations or people we think are worthy of it. And we're just hoping that we get some people stepping up. And I know we talked to John Schmidt, the former swimming coach, and sounds like he was going to be getting a nomination or two in for some of the gals he's coached and the success they had the last 10 or 15 years. I know Jerry Cappers, the Mankato East former Albert Lee coach, he wants to was going to be getting a nomination in for, I think it's a 4x400 group that was state champions in about 1975 for Albert Lee, including Vinny Serrato, who had a long time career in management in the National Football League. And he's in the Hall of Fame as an athlete, but he was one of the forerunners. That record still holds. If you go out to the high school and look at that on the track and field board outside of the gym. And so, yeah, from what I understand, that was just an amazing run those boys did back then. And so I'm waiting to hear more from Jerry Cappers on that one.
Now, Jonesy, for those that are just tuning into the conversation, repeat where you can get those nomination forms and give us the dates again for when you need them filled out by. And you mentioned the last Friday in July, that's when the banquet is going to take place.
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, the 27th or 28th, right in there, whatever that last Friday is. And then just stop uptown the North Broadway at the Convention Visitors Bureau/Chamber. They have forms there to fill out. And then you can stop down at Tiger City Sports Monday through Saturday, 9 to 12. We've got a big pile of them down there for a person to grab, too, and fill it out. And one of the things, too, Aaron, on that application, you can also do it online, but it asks you, it's not just say Tom Jones or Aaron Worm needs to be in the Hall of Fame. You have to put in there why they have to be. They were all Big Nine. They were all conference. They were all state. Here's what they've done after in their college career or in their business career, whatever, working career. We have a good example of that. We had Don Kropp in our last group, and he was a longtime track coach, assistant coach, I think, did a lot of stuff, but also an outstanding educator in Albert Lee. And, you know, when we talked, I actually got to introduce him and said what a great teacher he was. And so, yeah, it looks at not just athletics, but what they do away from that, too. So, and one thing, too, Aaron, if I can, I might add.
Yeah, go ahead.
In talking with Mike Peterson last night, he said our last check that we gave to the Education Foundation was over $10,000. And that goes to help offset the costs for athletic and just participation in general for Albert Lee for their activities. And I think I've lost count, but it's probably 60 to 70,000, maybe more, that we've donated since 2010. Wow. When this committee started. So,
Jonesy, I'm glad you brought up that part of the equation too, because Albert Lee High School is, and I don't know if there's another high school in the state of Minnesota that does this. They have the fee for activities, but if you can't pay it, you can't pay it. You know, they might put a number out there like $150 for a certain season. And if you're able to, it's kind of on the, I don't want to say the honor system, but, you know, if you're able to and want to pay $150, you put in your $150. If you can't, that's okay. You don't have to pay anything, because they want to make sure that every student that wants to play sports is able to, and they're not stopped from doing that because of finances. And what your committee does with the Albert Lee High School Hall of Fame, it definitely helps to allow Albert Lee High School to do that.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point you're making there, Aaron. And I know, talking to Paul Durban, he was the one that instituted that $150, or if you can't afford it, and we want you still to play. We don't want cost to be a factor for a great athlete participating in Albert Lee sports. And I think it's been a good thing for all. And if you read, I think it was Paul Durban had a column in the Albert Lee paper last week and talked about the participation numbers were up big time in Albert Lee schools this fall for activities. So I think that was a great thing to be able to promote too.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday here on KATE Radio. And Jonesy, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
Well, just one thing I guess I'll throw at you, and that is the Twins signed this new catcher, a new old catcher, for 3 years, $30 million. And I've heard of him, but what were your thoughts on that? I think it was a good move.
I think it was a good move, too. I mean, catcher numbers are so weird because, you know, 50-plus RBIs, maybe 9 home runs, you know, 250, 270 average. I mean, catchers are not going to hit over 300. Those days are pretty much gone. Mike Piazza and a Joe Mauer. So I think it's a good move because the guy's won a couple of rings. He won one with Boston and just won one with Houston. I think a 3-year, $30 million deal, $10 million a year is a lot for a catcher, but I think he's worth it. The big thing for the Minnesota Twins is we're all waiting for the shoe to drop on Carlos Correa. And what I saw just the last hour, it's down to maybe the Twins and the Cubbies.
Hmm.
I have a feeling that other teams have dropped out of the race for Carlos Correa because his agent wants long-term, guaranteed big bucks. Everybody else is going, we don't think he's worth that. I think he wants to be a Twin. I really think he wants to come back to the Twins. I just think his agent is going to squeeze every little penny out of the Minnesota Twins before they finally go, okay, we'll take that.
And they're going to squeeze every penny out of us fans who go to games too, believe
yeah.
me. But, you know, excuse me, when they signed this catcher yesterday, made me think, too, there's going to be a lot of leadership coming with him. And makes me think, too, that if we don't get Correa back, that this guy's going to have the leadership role for the Twins, being the 2-time world champion with the Houston and Boston, I believe. And makes me wonder about that, too, that maybe they're thinking they're not going to get Correa. But I hope they do. If not, you've got Royce Lewis, hopefully off his ACL injury, and be able to come in and play some shortstop and take that money and put it into a pitcher or two that might be out there. But most of the named pitchers are gone now. So I think that the idea, and we talked about this last week, about signing a big marquee pitcher for the Twins just isn't going to happen.
My brother said it last week. He said there's 5 teams that spend a lot of money. Everybody else is just trying to construct a roster that may get lucky enough to get to the World Series. Because that's what baseball is. You know, Yankees, Dodgers, throw in the Mets, Houston, Atlanta, Cubs, and everybody else just kind of tries to form a lineup that can compete. And when you are one of those other teams, you have to be very careful with where you spend your money and how you construct your lineup. I think they have to bring Correa back. I just do.
I think they do, yeah. I would agree. And hopefully, I don't agree with these 10-year contracts. I think that's
ridiculous. Isn't that crazy?
It is. I mean, Correa is, what, 28, 29?
Yeah.
You want to have this guy playing for you when you're 39 years old at shortstop? That's questionable on my part.
Joe Mauer, wasn't that a 10-year contract?
And yeah, like that.
And we saw where Joe was on the last half of that contract.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're only really paying for 5. And then the guy's going to go downhill. That's just the way age works. You can't outrun Father Time.
No, you and I both know that, right?
I've been trying. He keeps catching me, Jonesy. I've been trying.
Hey,
Tom
Jones. Watch me at 4:45 running up and down the court with B-Squatters tonight.
See, he hasn't caught you yet. You're still sprinting fast.
It hasn't, but it will tomorrow. But we're looking forward to it. One thing I want to add to Aaron, when my daughter hits her first 3 of the year tonight,
yes.
I've been having it on the radio. I'm going to have my headset going. I want to hear that. That's Jones for 3.
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay.
I will do that. She's going to hit her first 3. Send me updates from the boys' game.
Yeah, I sure will. I'll send you some scoreboard shots. So,
okay.
Anyway, you have a great broadcast up there, and I appreciate it every Tuesday when I get a chance to come on Kate Radio. And I apologize for having a scratchy throat here. I'm chugging some orange drink as I'm talking to keep me going.
Tom Jones on a Tom Jones Tuesday. Jonesy, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, everybody have a great week. Thanks, Aaron. Good luck, Tigers.
3:27 here at Kate Radio. So Jonesy will be at the high school tonight, keeping us updated on how the boys team is doing. And again, we're going to be up in Faribault for the girls game tonight. 7:15, your pregame tip-off at 7:30.